The scripture reading this morning will be taken from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. That's John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. But this my Father is glorified, that you may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone, especially those who are our guests today. We pray for God to bring people our way, to share the morning with us, to have a time of worship, and to praise Him. And we hope and pray that you'll be encouraged by your time together with the church here today. And as I start, I can't help but, as Tim mentioned, it's great to see our scripture banners up on the side walls. Many of you helped choose these several Wednesday nights ago. We had a little informal survey. Well, it was sort of a formal survey, but several of you were participants in that. Thank you for helping choose the verses. And then, as Tim mentioned, we want to thank John for doing an exceptional job in laying them out and designing them for us, and takes a long time to do this kind of work, I can assure you. And thanks to Frank and to Earl for getting them up so beautifully on this last week. We appreciate it. And you'll notice up at the front, there's something a bit different. These verses will be up here for quite a while, but on the front over here on the left-hand side is essentially a theme poster. As we serve together this year and in the coming months, we want to keep this ever before us, go and bear fruit that will last, from John chapter 15, verse 16. It's based, of course, on Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15, when he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Last year, we looked at some of the self-revelation statements of Jesus, the great I am statements. I'm the shepherd, I'm the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And one of them, of course, one of the statements, the last of the statements in John chapter 15 is, I am the vine. And here Jesus is saying something so essential about himself and about us. Jesus is saying, everything flows through me. I am the vine. Life comes from me. Sustenance comes through me. Energy and power and spiritual life, they all flow through me and through my life. Everything comes through me, but it flows through you. It flows through the branches, that you may bear fruit and that you may bear life. You know, God is a God who loves life. God loves things that are living and healthy and productive and fruitful. And we see that from the very opening of Scripture, that God is a God who loves life and creates it. From the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, God creates the heavens and the earth. And we know how he separates the light from the darkness and the waters from the land, and the dry land appears. And then God, of course, populates the environment with amazing life. Starting out in Genesis chapter 1, verse 11, where we read about the plants and the trees. God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to the various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. God creates this amazing world with plant life, all of it having within it seed that it can continue to grow and reproduce and be fruitful. And we have a world that is filled with blooms and blossoms and food and all kinds of growth. The beauty of God's creation. God creates living things, and they all bring glory to Him. And on this earth, we know what comes next in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 20. Those creatures in the sea and those things that are in the sky, let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which is in the waters according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw it was good, and God blessed them. And God says to these creatures, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the waters and the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And God creates sea creatures and creatures, and he says, let the waters teem with these creatures. Let them be filled with life. And these creatures give birth and reproduce and continue to bring life and fruitfulness in the world. And the birds that fill the expanse of the heavens. God longs to see his skies filled with the beauties of these living creatures. And he brings about this life, all of it bringing glory to him as the creator of this life. And then, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 24, creatures that come forth on the land, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God brings amazing animal life onto this earth, creatures that are beautiful and majestic, and some that cause us to maybe have a sense of humor about the way they look, but just the beauty of the animal kingdom. And God calls for them to be fruitful, to reproduce, to fill the earth. All of this, notice that all of this life brings glory to God, who is the author of life. And then there's the crown of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And you know what's coming? God blesses them and says, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. Created in the image of God, to have dominion over creation, but created to fill the earth ourselves, to be fruitful, to increase in number. God loves life. God loves living creatures, and he created so many living beings that have within themselves the ability to be reproduce, to be fruitful, to bring forth additional life. And all of this life brings about glory to God. It's the filling of the earth with his glory. How many of you are planning a garden this year? Nobody's planning a garden, not a single one. That's terrible. Come on. You don't even have a tomato plant out yet? Eldon's already got potatoes over here in our garden area. I've seen your potatoes. He's got them staked out so nobody digs them up. Interesting. I have to talk to Eldon. Knows a lot more about farming than me, but I thought potatoes were more of a winter crop, but maybe they've been in the ground a while. You have to tell me about that. But, you know, we love to plant gardens. And why do we do it? Well, it's not like we feed the masses out of our backyards. I mean, we're city folks, so our gardens are pretty small, but we enjoy it, don't we? We love the process. We love to see things grow. We love to get our hands down in the earth and plant these things. And then if you're like me, it's like you wait for the first blooms and they come on and there they are. And then you watch and then one day all of a sudden there's fruit there. There's something growing and you think, this is food. This is amazing. And you watch it grow and you see this come up. And then, of course, when the tomatoes are ripe, we bring them to church and show off our tomatoes to everybody and share them because we're so proud of our tomatoes. And I nearly brought some in today because we have some tomatoes on our plants from last year. And I would have brought them in, but we ate them last week, so I don't have any left. But I did this. I brought in a grapefruit. Would you look at this grapefruit? Is this not an amazing grapefruit? I did not grow this. My neighbor, Dan, did. And Dan, he brings over grapefruits, and he brings over lemons and oranges and avocados. And I didn't bring any avocados because I was afraid you might take them. I want them myself. But he says, these are the greatest grapefruits. Do you know what this would cost you in the store to buy these organic grapefruits? And he's right, and he's proud of them. And I love these grapefruits. And You know, I don't like grapefruit, but I like these grapefruits because they don't taste like grapefruit. They taste like, I don't know, these are just something different. They are a whole different variety, and I love these things, but we're proud of them. It's like, yeah, look at that. As you know, like even the trees are doing this, but Dan's talking about like, yeah, look at my tree. But we like that. It makes us proud. Well, typically all I do is, and it's not usually me, it may be my son or my wife, it's like you go get the little tomato plant and you stick it in the ground, you know, and then the sprinklers maybe take care of it for you. And we get so excited. God created the plants. God created the seed inside of the fruit of the plant so it would continue to bear. God created the earth, the actual earth, the minerals in it. God created the sun that gives warmth and then makes this whole thing possible. God sends the rain. God brings life to this entire world. God brings life not only to the kingdom of vegetables and fruit and trees, but to human life and to animal life. And it glorifies God. It shows the power and the majesty and the wisdom of God. He is glorified by fruitfulness, by life. We find this same kind of imagery when God talks about his people. God calls his people into a relationship with him that will bring about the bearing of fruit. And it is a fruit that comes out of a person's life by very virtue of the relationship that you have with God. When you abide in God, and when God abides in you, things happen in your life that set you apart in a sense because God's active, and there are certain results that come out of your life. There's certain fruit that is born. And in plain language, what are we talking about? Well, maybe one of the easiest ways to see this is what God said about his people of the Old Testament. The people of Israel in Psalm 80, verse 8, the psalmist says this to God. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out all the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root, and it filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea. It shoots as far as the river. And the psalmist is saying, God, you brought your people out of Egypt. Earl mentioned that in our Lord's Supper today, delivering his people out of bondage in Egypt. And he said, and you opened the way for them, and you brought them into the land of their fathers, and you planted them like a grapevine right in the middle of the land you promised so long ago. And the vine began to grow. The vine began to grow and put out its shoots and begin to bear fruit. And this is what God expected of his people, the Israelites under the old covenant, that this fruit would come out of them. And when you read the Old Testament, God's really clear about what this fruit is. This fruit is that they will reflect his nature, that Israel as a nation will be a nation that is holy and righteous and pure and compassionate and caring for the needy and for the alien, and that they will reflect in their laws what it's like to live under Yahweh, the God of Israel, a God of wisdom and majesty. And the whole point is that the nations all around them will look at what's going on in the land of Israel, and they'll say, what's happening here? Look at these people. Look at the wisdom that dominates their life. Look at the courts. Look at the justice that they have. Look how every person is cared for in the society. Even the poor have the things that they need. And the point of all of that, of course, was that by being God's people and bearing the fruit of God's likeness and God's word in the world, that Israel would be a light to the Gentiles, that the nations would come to know God, the true God, through his people that are planted like a vine to bear fruit for all of the world to see. That is what God called for them to do, and that's how they would impact their world. The tragedy of the Old Testament is that Israel fails to be that fruitful vine and face the judgment of God. But nonetheless, that's what God called for them to be. And then Jesus comes to Israel. Jesus comes to the Jews in the first century, and he says to them, I'm the true vine. And they know exactly what he's getting at. Jesus is saying in the statement, I am the true vine, I'm the real vine, I'm the actual vine, and what you have failed to do as the vine that belongs to Yahweh, that belongs to God, I am going to accomplish. I am coming here to reflect the nature of God, to display the nature of God through my life. I'm coming here to teach you the words of God. I have come to this world to be obedient to the Father's will, that through my life you might see God Himself, that I will be this true vine that will bring glory and honor to God. And every divine attribute is seen in Jesus Christ. And He brings salvation to the nations. Jesus brings forth fruit. Fruit that will last. Because of His faithfulness to the Father. And that's where you and I come in. Because Jesus, who says, I am the true vine, also says in the same text, I am the vine, you are the branches. And it is an amazing statement and invitation and challenge. Because Jesus is basically in the statement calling for you and I to recognize that God has connected us to Himself. That this life of God that flowed through Jesus, this complete revelation of God that flowed through Jesus' life and brought people to the Father, that Jesus now says, now you're the branches connected to me. And all this life and power and energy to bear fruit for God, it's coming now from me and it's coming through you. It's coming into your life. It's coming through you. That you can remain in me and I can remain in you. And you will hear my word and you'll be obedient to my word. And you will bear fruit. You will bear fruit that will last. And in this way, Jesus is basically calling us to carry out the very mission that He came to this world to carry out. So what does it mean for us to bear fruit? There's some things that we find not only in John, but as we think about what it means as God's people to bear fruit that stand out and are pretty obvious. And one of them, like Israel, is to display God's nature. If the life of Christ is flowing through us, if the Spirit of God is coming through Jesus and into our lives to give us power and energy to live for God, it goes without saying that we will begin to display the nature of God in our own lives. We will show God's holiness and righteousness, His tender care, His love, and His compassion. People should be able to look at your life and my life and see the impact of God in it. That really is an amazing thing to say about the nature of our lives, but it's the truth. People in this world who see us and know us, they ought to see the impact of God upon us as the life of Christ flows through us. They ought to see us as people who are concerned with righteousness and holiness and justice. They ought to see us as people who are kind and compassionate and caring. If you want to see what it looks like, it's right there on the wall, Galatians 5. There's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. There it is. People see us and they see that our spirit is under control, that our self is under control, that we're forgiving, that we don't hold grudges, that we go the second mile, that we serve people. They see the nature of God in us. And they see that we belong to Him, and they see the evidence of God in our lives. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we don't slip and fall. It doesn't mean that we've never fallen short of what God wants us to be, not at all. But rather that we live with a peace and a joy and a contentment and a lifestyle that reflects the truth and the reality that Jesus Christ is flowing through us, that His life and His power are coming through that vine into us as His branches. You know, when our sister Dee Ransom received her prognosis and basically one that her life was going to be short. The rest of her days were numbered, like all of ours, but in a very, very real way for Dee. It's amazing to watch her, to talk to her. Here's a woman whose faith was so strong that she lived every day with assurance. And if you were to talk to Dee during this time, she would tell you how thankful she was to God. How God was giving her such joy in these days, and the blessings that she was experiencing every day of her life, knowing that the time that she had was short. You could look at her life and you could see the imprint of God because her life was different, because of the attitude that she has. How many times have we seen that with Christian brothers and sisters who are going through a variety of hardships in life, who are facing any number of difficulties? Because we face every problem that everybody else faces, don't we? We're no different. We live in the same world, and the same problems hit our lives and our families. But there's something different when the love and the life of Christ is flowing through you. You display a nature of God. And people watch what you're going through, and they say, How are you living through this? How are you getting through that? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me. And always we point to God. We point to the power of God in us. People can see God on display as we yield to Him and as we live by faith. You see this over and over again. And one of the ways we bear fruit is to display the nature of God in our lives. But there's another way, and Jesus points to it here in John chapter 15 when He says, go and bear fruit. Go. This is a mission statement. Go and bear fruit that will last. And Jesus is saying to His disciples, it's time for you to take up My mission. It's time for you to step up and to do what I'm doing. It's time for you to look out at this world and see the opportunity to share the gospel, to be a blessing to people. And we go and bear fruit, and we do it through service, through blessing one another in acts of kindness and service. You know, there's not a week that goes by that you don't see that in this church family, where some people in this family are responding to the needs of somebody else in this family. It could be helping them move. It could be dealing with a problem that they have, or just helping out in some way that is a benefit to their life, or visiting someone who's in need of encouragement. And you see this service that's being done in the name of Christ, a service and a ministry that bears fruit. That brings forth life, that brings forth glory to God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, He said, let your light shine in such a way that men can see your good works. And then the most important part is what He says next. And glorify your Father who's in heaven. That's the whole purpose of service. That's the reason, one of the reasons that we do those things. We want to point people to God. Yes, we want to bless people. We want to help people from a heart of compassion. But there's an ultimate goal in all that we do, that glory is given to God, that God is glorified in everything that we do. And that's why we take opportunity to speak to people about Christ, to share Christ with friends and neighbors and people that we meet and know along the way, and that we open up spiritual conversations with them. That's why we do ministry within the church, why we join hands together and take on some projects together. We all have our personal lives and the people we know and meet out there in the world every single week, and that's such an important part of bearing fruit. But so also is when we join hands together to do things as a body, as a family, that we wouldn't be able to carry out on our own. Different ministries that we do, whether it's the MOPS ministry or teaching our kids to the California Bible Adventure, whether it's the support that we have for mission works in various parts of the world. But we do that together. We do that connected. Next week, we've been talking about the fact that we're going to be having a ministry fair next Sunday during our morning time together. This is a time to look for opportunities to bear fruit as we serve in ministries in the church, to be involved in some capacity, to put our hands with the hands of our brothers and sisters and to work side by side. We've been so blessed in these last couple of months with the addition of deacons in the congregation and other ministry leaders. They're going to be available to all of us next Sunday. And you know, one of the things that was said to every one of the new deacons who's begun to serve in this congregation is, please do not do all the work. Reach out to your brothers and sisters and encourage them to be involved and to help you in the ministry that you have responsibility for. And so next Sunday, we want to give everyone an opportunity to say, this is what I can do. This is where I'd like to be involved, to be thinking about that, to come prepared, to see what you may be able to do in the kingdom as we join hands together to carry out that work. It's such a great time. We have so many people who continue to be amazing servants and involved in so many aspects of the kingdom work here. We just want to encourage everyone and give everyone the opportunity to be involved in that work. In a minute, after our lesson today, you're going to get a little booklet about the ministry fair. You can take a look at it, take it home, be thinking about that. And next week, we'll be taking some action on that. But this is the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is to bring glory to God by bearing fruit that will last. Bearing fruit in all the ways that we can, by Christ-likeness, by love and compassion, by service, by ministry within the church. That's why we're here. That's why God saved us. That's why He redeemed us. For eternal life, yes, for sharing in that life throughout eternity in the presence of God, but still on this earth to be that life of God, that presence of God in a world that needs to hear a message of good news, that needs grace, that needs the power of God to be flowing in their life, to give them what they're looking for and what they need in their life. That's why we live. That's why we're here. If we miss that, we miss everything. That's the purpose of life. And so we don't go about life like people who don't have the same understanding, the same view of what life is all about. There are a lot of wonderful folks out in the world, good folks, and they get up every day and they go do their jobs and they're nice people, they're caring people, and they live their life and they go on vacations and they do all the things that everybody does, and then life comes to an end. But we look at life and we say, you know, God's at work in this world, and God's got a purpose right now to reach out to every soul. And that's what our life is. That's our mission. So whether I'm at work or I'm at home, what's important in my life, in yours, is that we bear fruit, that we bear fruit to the glory of God that will last. It changes the way we look at our families. It changes the way that we look at how we raise up our kids and how we live as husbands and wives and as parents, because we realize what's so important about our family life is that our family grows up in faith to bring honor and glory to God, to bring fruit that will glorify God. And when we look at our work situations, even our recreation, our neighbors, our friends, yeah, we want to be connected to folks and we want to enjoy those times together, but we have a bigger view. We understand that God wants to reach every soul with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we look at all of life. We look at our job with that same goal in mind. We want to bear fruit that will last in our work. Not just get the job done, not just get the paycheck or get the project completed on time, but to see the people there, to see the opportunities that we have, to display the nature of God and the way we handle life among other people, and then be able to find ways to bring up conversations about our Lord with different folks. That's what our life is all about. That's the purpose, holiness and ministry. And as this year goes on and we look over here and we say, go and bear fruit that will last, we want to continue to come back to this idea and this theme. That's what my life is all about. Jesus told his apostles, he says, I've chosen you and I've appointed you that you will go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And that's what he has called upon us to do. What else is a vine supposed to accomplish? When you go to places like the Napa Valley or other places, if you've been other countries where vineyards are planted, people don't plant vineyards for shade. You want shade, you plant trees, you make a park, you go sit in the shade. That's what you want. You plant grapevines because you're looking for grapes. That's what they're for. And they produce. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful how grapes are produced. If they don't produce, they're worthless. That's the whole purpose. And you and I in Christ, our reason for existence is to give honor and glory to God. And one of the vital ways that we do that is by bearing fruit in our life. So we end today with two images. One image is the image of the barren branch. John chapter 15, verse 2, Jesus says this about the Father. He says, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. It's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. That's simply the truth of what happens to non-productive vines in grape, in a plant, in a vineyard. That's what happens to them because they're no longer serving their purpose. And it's a sobering image and it's a sobering word because it reminds us of the tragedy of failure. And that's what happened in Israel. You know, I read a few moments ago from Psalm 80 about this wonderful vine being planted. Well, if you go on about three or four verses later in Psalm 80, the psalmist says to God, God, your vine is cut down. It's burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Israel came under the judgment of God for this very reason, because they did not produce the fruit in keeping with their calling to be connected with God and display the glory of God in the world. And if I fail, if you fail, if any of us fail as Christians, to abide in Him, for His Word to abide in us, to cease from bearing fruit. It is a sobering judgment that Jesus brings to our attention in this passage to remind us what is at stake in our lives. We are called to bear fruit, and fruit that will last. And we end with an image of fruitfulness today. It's an amazing image of a vine that is so filled with grapes. And I know Acts 2 doesn't talk about grapes, and there's no vision of grapevines here. There's no metaphor here in Acts 2. It's just the reality of it. But you can see, if you want to see what Jesus is talking about, what does it look like when God's people hear this call to fruitfulness and live it? This is what it looks like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Who would not want to be a part of that body, of that vineyard, of that church, committed and serving and sacrificial and sharing? You read these words and you say, there are people that have the life of Christ flowing through them. Here are people who are filled with the Spirit of God. And look at it. Look at the life. Look at the fruit. What's the world doing? The world's looking at them with awe. Look at the way they're living. Look at the love they have. Look at the care they have for other people. God's adding to their number daily those that are being saved. This is the church, the healthy, the fruitful church, with the very power and life of Jesus Christ flowing through it. This is what we all long for. This is what we want to be a part of. A healthy, growing, fruitful group of people that God is glorified through. And in this church, through our lives and by the power of God, we can see that happening. It's such a joy to work together. It's such a joy to work with brothers and sisters, whether it's a work party, you know, cutting down weeds in our garden, or painting together, or going out door to door, or whatever it is that we do together. It's such a joy to be together, to build relationships, to see this, all of these little branches coming together, because we're all connected together through the vine, and to see those branches going out and fruit coming out on them. There's nothing so exciting and fulfilling as being a part of this growing, living, fruitful, reproducing body of Jesus Christ, this vineyard. And Christ calls us to share in that passion and work. And if you remain in Him, and He remains in you, and His words remain in you, and you're faithful to His words, if we do this together, we will bear fruit. And we will bear fruit that will last. There will be souls that will live forever in the presence of God because of the faithfulness of His people here. This is fruit that will last. This is lasting glory to God. And if you don't know this relationship today with the Lord, we invite you to Jesus, the vine, to be connected to Him, to confess Him as the Son of God, to turn from any sin in your life, and to find forgiveness through His blood, to come to Him and find forgiveness through the blood He shed on the cross, being baptized into Christ, being forgiven of your sins. Receive the Holy Spirit within you to give you power to live this life, to go and bear fruit that will last. And if there are any who need to answer the call of Jesus, we invite you now as we stand, as we sing together.